Friends, crystal keepers, gym lovers, and rock hounds. Welcome to There's a Rock for That. This is the show that is all about crystals, gems, and rocks of all varieties, where we will explore the folklore, metaphysical properties, and healing applications of the stone people. I'm Pterodactyl, and I welcome all of you today. Whether you're here to connect with the crystal kingdom or discover what your rocks are about or even sail the mystic seas to the land of dragons where fairies greet us and unicorns gallop through magical forests to sacred stone temples, I'm so happy that you are here to share the experience. And I think it's going to be an interesting experience this week. Today we are going to talk about using crystals to connect with angels. And this is part of our autumnal spirit season that I have declared this fall, where we're going to talk about all kinds of different spiritual beings that we can connect with using our crystals. And we're going to focus today on the angelic realm. And later in the second half of the show, we'll talk about this week's featured stone, which is actually a metal. Oh, it's copper. We're going to talk about copper. And we'll see also later how it does in a lot of ways connect to the angelic realm. And we might just start right there with copper. You know, very, very interesting when it comes to angels and copper. And Archangel Gabriel, or Gabriel, as some people pronounce it, being the one that I know Doreen Virtue and, you know, many subsequent people have written about being connected, copper being connected to Archangel Gabriel. I'm not for sure that the rest of the people aren't using Doreen as her source. And I feel that Doreen, this is information that she has channeled from Archangel Gabriel. As we all know, she is the famous angel communicator, and I'm certified by her as a realm reader and angel card reader as well. So, you know, I want to talk about, yeah, okay, there's that connection that Doreen definitely makes with Archangel Gabriel. So how might you do this using a crystal if you want to connect with them? And what would be the kind of the quality or the nature of that communication? And we'll just use, you know, Gabriel and copper at first here for our example. So you might have a copper piece of jewelry, a copper ring. If you have a really old penny, you would have copper then. As we know, you know, pennies aren't made out of copper like they were back in the day. So, but, you know, any kind of little copper tin, just you have raw copper, which is beautiful when you see pieces of natural, raw, unworked copper. But you could take that copper that you have and meditate with it and call out. You could say, Archangel Gabriel, I call upon you now. Please give me an indication of blah, 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 what I should do about this or that or whatever reason. I mean, I think, okay, so here's the key that I will share my personal opinion on connecting with angels and calling upon them, is that, you know, have a reason. You know, don't do it just because you think it's cool, okay? You know, and look, you know, obviously, you know, this is my personal take on it. Because I know there's a lot of school of thought out there, and, you know, I agree to an extent with it sometimes that, you know, you can call on the angels anytime. Well, sure you can, you know, and people talk about parking, you know, space angels that help them find a parking space when it's a really busy day at the mall or anybody really go to the mall anymore? At a store. We know people go to stores, you know. And so there's people that will connect with the angels for that, you know, and for all sorts of things, you know. You know, help me find my true love, you know, bring someone into my life. And I think it's okay, whatever the reason is. I'm not really judging it, you know, because I think it works in a way that the angels are there when you need them. And sure, there may be angels that are best suited for certain areas of life, you know, but if you don't necessarily need them, and what I mean by that is that maybe it's something really minor that you just sort of want, but it doesn't necessarily further anything for you, and you don't necessarily benefit from it. You know, just because you ask the angels to help you with something doesn't necessarily mean that the help is going to come in such a way as you're expecting, you know. It may be in your better interest, you know, when we look at the path you're on, your life as a whole, it may be in your better interest that you don't get for. You know, I think it works the same with prayer, is that sometimes the unanswered prayer is a blessing. Okay, so that's just something to consider. You know, a couple other things here that I think are important to kind of talk about with it is, you know, we can break it down into, you know, what are the different, in a sense, specialties of the angels. You know, we have Archangel Gabriel, you know, whose name means the strength of God. And he's one of the ones specifically named in the Bible, you know, along with there's, you know, him and Archangel Michael that are specifically named, you know. And in the Old Testament's book of Daniel, Gabriel appears to Daniel and helps him to understand his visions of the future. And then in the New Testament, Gabriel appears in the book of Luke, where he announces the birth of John the Baptist and Jesus Christ that are to come. And, you know, all along, you know, throughout the Bible, he's always giving these sort of important messages, you know. And this isn't just in the Bible, you know, in the Quran, you know, Gabriel, you know, or in the Islamic faith, rather, Gabriel is said to be the archangel that revealed the Quran to the Prophet Muhammad. You know, so he, in, you know, seems to be all about communicating these important messages and being like the main big communicator. You know, so you could think of that as, you know, his specialty in a sense, you know. And, you know, all the angels supposedly have these specialties, but they are all quite capable of doing all kinds of wondrous things, especially when... you know, it's important, you know, and that's what I think, is that you can't get discouraged if you, even working with a piece of copper, which will help you be more attuned, because that's why we use crystals to try to connect with different spiritual entities, is because it strengthens that connection, and it adds a charge to it. And copper especially, I think, may, you know, it is, at least in Doreen's view, connected with Archangel Gabriel, but also is, you know, it's quite the conduit, as we will see later. And so I think of it as like, you know, instead of using walkie-talkies, you know, you're on 4G with Archangel Gabriel using copper, or with any of the angels. Because, you know, you can use copper with another crystal, you know, and that's another idea. Well, I'm already getting into the copper thing while I'm getting into the angel thing, because it just, you know, the two really connect for me. Okay, so the other thing that's kind of interesting about this is that you can meditate with that piece of copper if you want to connect with Archangel Gabriel, and or you could sleep with it under your pillow if you have a piece of jewelry, you know, especially like a ring. Like a copper ring, it would be great to wear that. Now, if you know, there's a kind of a thing with that where, like, you know, if you use it on your non-dominant side. So if you're where you would wear the jewelry. So if you are right-handed, then you would put like a copper ring, copper bracelet on your left hand and vice versa. If you're left-handed, you'd put it on your right hand. And this is only because, you know, that non-dominant hand, or non-dominant in the sense side of your body, is really where you have the better opportunity to make intuitive connections and to use that other side of yourself, in a sense, you know, that side of yourself that isn't doing all the work all the time and have to have all the focus all the time and is sort of in charge all the time, you know. The non-dominant side, because it's not dominant, can be the most receptive. Okay, so that's just one way to think about it. And, you know, the other thing that I think we need to consider is that, you know, this communication, even though we're using crystals, it can come in a variety of ways. You know, it can come in a variety of ways anyhow, but the crystal adds another way in which this can be very, very helpful. And that is because depending on the crystal that you use, it could be like a clear quartz, you know, for a different angel. you know, and we'll get into the association since we're focusing on contact with angels on this episode. We'll go into those different stones that are associated with the different angels, the different archangels, at least we'll talk about first. But most crystals, or a lot of them, are, you know, have a reflective kind of surface, or they have certain features in the surface. They have certain colors. They have a different degrees of translucence or opaqueness, or, you know, labradorescence, if it's a labradorite, you know, that kind of sheen. And you can, instead of, you know, sitting there with your copper, when we're talking about Gabriel, and just, you know, letting your mind wander and, like, waiting and trying not to focus too much, you could actually be looking into the stone that you're holding to make this connection with the angelic realm. A lot of times looking into it, things are going to pop into your head. You're going to see things in it. Certain shapes, certain features of it might look like a face, or it might look like a familiar object, or even an animal, you know. And sometimes things will be reflected in it, you know, like if it's, you know, more quartzy, so to speak, and, you know, you see things reflected. You know, it's really like not that... It's not so locked down or limited that you can't get a variety of messages and working with, you know, from the angel, because that's the thing. It will come as like a thought implant. It could come as a vision, something that you see sort of scrying into the crystal. And it could also come as a, you know, something that you hear, clairaudience, as well as something that you just know. So you have all the different types of clair things, or even something could happen outside of that, you know, because those are all like more sensory perception for you. If it comes to you like clairvoyantly, claircognizantly, clairaudiently, et cetera. But I would not say that it's out of the realm of possibility that it can also happen as something that happens outside of you, and like maybe in the room that you're in, maybe when you walk out the door, because maybe we don't get the message in right that second. You know, we maybe don't get it right in that instance that we're asking for it. You know, it's sort of like giving and receiving, right? You know, we take the time to try to make the connection. We also need to give the time to receive the answer, you know, or the sign, the message, whatever we want to call it. So Archangel Gabriel is, you know, associated with copper, at least by Doreen Virtue. But I've also seen, and I forget who made this connection, Danbarite, you know, another stone, crystal Danbarite, also associated with Archangel Gabriel. But we can talk about, you know, a lot of the, trying to think who does make that connection. Hazel Raven actually made that connection in her book, The Angel Bible. But let's talk about really maybe how these things became associated. Well, one way in which they became associated, I think, is kind of clear with Doreen Virtue's Archangels 101 book, you know, and it's in her angel therapy book and maybe subsequent books as well, where she talks about the halo colors of the archangels. This goes along, I mean, it really, to me, it kind of really sort of fits the crystal associations that come from her with the archangels as well. So we start with, say, you know, the most well-known, perhaps, Archangel Michael, and the halo color is purple, kind of royal purple or royal blue, and with gold with it sometimes. And the crystal associated with Archangel Michael is sugarlite. Okay, so you would take the same approach I was talking about copper. You can meditate with it. You could sleep with it under your pillow. You could have a piece of jewelry and wear it on the non-dominant side of your body, you know, if it's you know, a ring or bracelet. It's hard to wear a necklace on one side of the body, right? Maybe you could put it in your pocket. If you have just a tumbled stone of it, you could carry it around in your pocket. You can work with it, you know, hold it in your hand, kind of run it, you know, run it through your fingers, or, you know, kind of like a worry stone or a palm stone. And, of course, always we're going to stay focused, at least for a little while, on what it is that we want to do. What's the message? Who do we want to connect with? And we use that intention that we are going to make that connection. Okay? So that's just some tips with that. So, you know, so with the halo color that she has associated with Archangel Michael is royal purple, royal blue, and gold. Interestingly enough, the stone she associates with Michael is sugarlite, which is actually that same color, that kind of beautiful bluish-purple kind of color. So next we go to Archangel Raphael. The halo color associated is emerald green. And we go over to her crystal associated with them, and it's Archangel Raphael associated with emerald or malachite. You know, which has those two different colors of green. It's a beautiful stone, malachite, and also very connected to healing. It's very interesting because, you know, it's kind of, I think that if you don't have an emerald or even a piece of malachite, you can use these colors, or you can use stones that are of the same color. You know, using, I think, you know, what I'm getting from what Doreen, you know, put together with this, it makes it sort of pretty obvious in that way. Gabriel, the color, the halo color is copper, and the crystal, as we know, metal is copper. Archangel Uriel, the color is yellow of the halo, and the stone she associates with Archangel Uriel is amber. I think, you know, you could work more with that yellow color. You could look at yellow calcite with that. You could look at yellow jasper with that. You could look at, you know, some of your different stones with that. And that are of that same color. And I kind of feel like, you know, I'm not going to say maybe so much yellow calcite because that is more associated by her, at least, with Archangel Azrael, but it's whose halo color for Azrael is this creamy white color, she says, of his halo. And The thing that's kind of interesting about that is that it may depend on the piece of calcite that you have. If you have like a pale yellow calcite, then that may fit better to associate with Azrael, since she associates yellow calcite. But if you have, you know, a more, you know, darker yellow, I guess, piece of calcite, you can use that to connect with Archangel Uriel as well. I think a lot of these connections are made all the time without the use of crystals, but I know that as much as people write about and tell everyone, like, oh, you can always talk to your angels, you can do this, they're there, they're around you all the time, there's millions and millions of, you know, angels. I also know that there's a lot of people that are, you know, reading that stuff and hearing that stuff and trying really hard and feel like nothing's happening for them. And just like, you know, they don't know what to think about that. Is it them? Is it, you know, are these people full of it? Or, you know, are they doing it wrong? All of those things. So I want to say these are kind of loose ideas that may be very helpful. The other thing that comes up with this is that, you know, if you have a stone of the halo color, but not necessarily the exact one, I think if your intention is there, I think it'll work just as well. And then we go on to some more of the archangels here. Archangel Camiel, associated with the pale green color, and the associated stone is like fluorite, I guess, like green fluorite. And which does have a really kind of nice pale color when you think about it. Archangel Ariel, halo color is pale pink. The associated stone is rose quartz. And Archangel Sandalphon, turquoise, is associated as the halo color and also as the stone. And Archangel Jophiel is associated with a dark pink, and she gives a couple examples of stones that would work. Rubellite, I guess it's the same stone, or which deep pink tourmaline. And Archangel Haniel is considered like a pale blue kind of color, kind of close to moonlight, like that pale of the blue. And the stone, of course, then would be moonstone. And Archangel Raziel is associated with the rainbow colors and clear quartz. Because a lot of times you can see rainbows in clear quartz crystals. And, you know, I think that's a great association, you know. But we do have a lot of rainbow stones, too. So, like, maybe if you have, like, a rainbow fluorite or another kind of rainbow-colored stone, that might be a good substitution as well. I mean, usually you're more likely to have clear quartz around you than you are rainbow fluorite, but you never know. And then Archangel Raguel is associated with a pale blue halo and a aquamarine. And Jeremiah has supposedly a dark purple halo color and is associated with amethyst. And lastly, Archangel Zadkiel, associated with a deep indigo blue halo color, and lapis lazuli is the stone associated with Archangel Zadkiel. So anyways, you know, just wanted to kind of, you know, go over those, because I know a lot of people are big fans of Doreen Virtue. I am as well. And if you don't have, you know, any of her books, there's a few of her books where she does include those tables or associations at the end. There you have it. You can just listen back to this. You can download the episode and cut out the audio and transcribe it, and there you have your own list. That's pretty lame, right? That's a lot to do. But those, you know, one thing I do want to say about this, because I don't believe in just sort of, you know, parroting, you know, or going with just one source. And I will say that there are other writers out there, maybe not well as well known, but other writers and you know, that have associated different crystals and colors entirely with the archangels, you know. So we're never going to have like a definitive thing on this. Most of the people that are writing on the topic are either just repeating what they've been taught by someone else, or they are, you know, just trying to go by, you know, what makes sense to them or what they've channeled even. So I kind of feel it's wide open on this topic about connecting with angels using crystals. I mean, you know, we have a lot of choices when it comes to that. The other thing that really comes up to me is the sense that it doesn't really matter. You could designate a stone, almost any stone, to be your angelic communication stone. I mean, when I make an effort to communicate with the angels, you know, when I really think about it, when I make a concerted effort to do that, I usually do it at night. I usually do it before I go to bed, because I think that, you know, our open, you know, our brain during the day, during the course of our day and our little, you know, chores and duties and habits and behaviors and activities that we have going on, you know, we are so more prone to being judgmental, to being skeptical, to doubting everything. And I think that when we're asleep, we shut down that critical side of ours, you know, and we allow ourselves to be more open, and we put ourselves in an altered state, in the dream state. Falling asleep is putting ourselves in an altered state. We are much more open, and we're also usually much more visual. You know, there's a lot of people that don't really visualize things, you know, or have a hard time doing that, or, you know, it just doesn't happen where they get a vision of something. They may have a thought or an idea of something, you know, something might pique their interest in that way or catch their attention, but there's a lot of people that aren't visual. But however, they do have very visual dreams. They see things in their dreams, right? And so that's why I think that right before you go to sleep, to call upon the angels then and ask for a specific kind of message about something, or if you ask a question, you know, I think it's a great time to do it and a great way to do it. Sleep with the associated crystal or one of that associated color under your pillow when you do it. You know, that's one way. The other thing that I would say with this too is that I kind of feel that, kind of figure out, you know, not just because of like the supposed specialties of the angels written down in the book, but kind of figure out like who your angel is, in a sense. When it comes to the archangels, it is my feeling that every single one of us connects to at least one of the archangels very specifically. And, you know, why do I think this or whatever? It's just because it's been my experience, you know. I mean, there's people that say they connect to the angels all the time, and every single angel, you know, they'd like come over for dinner, whatever, you know. I mean, I think that not everybody's quite like that, but what I do think is that we all have at least one angelic connection, you know. And, you know, for me, surprisingly, I have found that to be Archangel Raphael, you know. And I really, it wasn't a connection I was expecting to make or looking to make. And I think that that's another part of it, because I think what happens when we talk about the subject of angels, you know, we have kind of two groups of people in a sense. We have the people that just are like naturally kind of already having weird experiences and can feel some sort of presence. And we have the other people that Okay, we have three kinds of people. All right, so there's a lot of kinds of people here maybe, but if we break it down into three groups, so the people that just naturally already have this, you know, sense of connection, like they may not, it may not be a clear connection, but they can at least feel it. They can feel the energy, they can feel the presence, they can feel kind of different things around them. And then you have the people that are maybe completely unaware, you know, just aren't paying attention to all of that. But yet they're interested in angels. And then I think we have a group of people, you know, I'm willing to say this, at least we have a group of people that are just trying so hard for it, that just want it so badly. And a lot of times what I've noticed is that, you know, but they're not having the experiences that they want, and so they're getting discouraged, you know. And you know, and skeptical. I mean, wouldn't you be? You know, if somebody tells you, like, this is the way to do something, and you do it, and it doesn't work, I mean, you become a little bit skeptical, or you get a little bit bummed out. You can even get frustrated. And obviously, none of those states of mind are going to help strengthen your ability to connect with the angels. And so what I'm saying is that, you know, whatever our reason and however we come to this, I think it's important that we give ourselves a lot of leeway for the messages to come however they may come to us, and not necessarily how someone else has experienced it, you know. I share the idea of, like, kind of the sleep method, I call it, where you communicate mostly with your angels when you're asleep, and, you know, with directed sleep. You know, like you're directing, you establish the conversation before you really drift off. You know, you state your intention and you state your request, you know, your question. One of the most beautiful kind of moments like that, because I'm not saying that, like, everything you dream is a message from the angels, but I'm saying that you can use that time and that, you know, altered state to communicate with them, okay? And, you know, just to give you an example, I remember one of the most beautiful messages that I ever got was from Archangel Raphael, and before I went to sleep, and interestingly enough, I was sleeping with a piece of malachite, you know, so I was connecting to that emerald green color. So I think that, you know, as far as I'm concerned in that experience, it totally, you know, was very effective using this crystal to connect, because it was such a clear, very clear kind of result. And, you know, just to share that, before I had gone to sleep, you know, I'd had like a couple different things happening in my life, and just I've been very, very lucky. You know, I felt like my life had been saved. I felt like, you know, I had escaped death, really, and you know, I felt like I was making great healing progress and stuff. And I was kind of overwhelmed by it all. You know, I kind of thought, like, wow, you know, because around me, wow, you know, I'm having that kind of luck and my body's healing and stuff. You know, I have a friend who's a quadriplegic. You know, I have a friend who is terminally ill. I have another friend who has Parkinson's. I have, you know, a friend with AIDS and a friend with cancer. And it was very humbling to me, because I just felt like, you know, that was my request. You know, I called upon Archangel Raphael. It wasn't anything complicated. You can do this kind of thing in your own words. I just said, Archangel Raphael, I call upon you now. You know, that's pretty simple. And you feel like, okay, I'm really, you know, calling this person. I'm not person, but Archangel. I said that, and I said, please, if you can, while I'm asleep, help me to understand why I deserve, you know, this luck that I've been having. You know, what's the reason, you know, that I have had this sort of intervention from the angels and help and stuff. You know, why me? I really, There's a lot more deserving people. There's probably a lot better people. There's smarter, prettier people, faster. I don't know. But, you know, it didn't make a lot of sense to me. And I just felt, you know, very humbled and overwhelmed by it. And so I went to sleep that night with a piece of malachite connected with Archangel Raphael, Doreen Virtue, and who am I to, you know, not test it out. And I had the most interesting response to that, because it was like, you know, it wasn't a dream with a big, huge scenario and, you know, I'm in a mall or something. It wasn't anything like that. All it was a visual. And I'm not necessarily that visual of a person, you know, in my everyday life. But it was the vision of a bird bath. You know, real close-up vision of a bird bath. You know, it's like, it's in a yard or something, right? And it was close up on these birds kind of dipping their wings, you know, how birds, you know, take baths in these bird bath things. You know, so there's all these little birds and these, you know, they're like sparrows. Like, I'm not a big ornithologist or anything, but I can recognize a sparrow. So it was, and I don't know the number, there just seemed to be several of them, you know, that was the number, several. Several sparrows in this bird bath, dipping their wings and taking their little birdie baths, and one of them just sort of fell in the bird bath, and for some reason I could see through the bird bath and see them slowly sinking in the water. And this hand of light, let's say, just came in and brought it back up out of the water. And, you know, it was fine and continued with this bird bath, and it was no big deal. And that was my message. That was my answer. Even the smallest, most insignificant of us are worthy of angelic assistance when we need it. Every one of us. A little unimportant sparrow, not a big catastrophe, slips into the bird bath, the world would have one less sparrow. No big deal. Well, apparently, it doesn't have to be a big deal. It just, because the angels can help us, they do. Because we need help from time to time where we're slipping, you know, into the bird bath in our own way and in our own life and situations. Because of those things, that's why they help us. That's why we're worthy of it. It doesn't have to be more than that. You don't have to be, you know, the amazing psychic from Seville. You know, you don't have to be somebody super special or a movie star for the angels to help you in that way. We're all equal. Okay. So, that's why I think, you know, there's something to this, using crystals to connect with the angels, because that was so vivid and so, like, just for that moment kind of experience, you know, dream experience. And then, you know, I went on to, you know, have other of my regular old dreams, you know, that night that weren't connected to it at all. So, and it's not something I ever would have thought of. You know, I don't even like birds, you know. So it wasn't a continuation of my unconscious thought. This was direct communication, because they perfectly, and it made sense, answered the question that I had set the intention for before I went to sleep with my malachite under my pillow. So, it, you know, use it like that, you know. This idea of working with crystals to connect with the angels. And, you know, I think the same is true with other spiritual beings as well. I do, however, feel like, at least in my experiences, you make the stronger connection using the sleep method than during the day. But I just feel that, especially with angels. But the other thing is, too, that, you know, sometimes I think that if we carry a certain stone, it becomes part of our energy field. And it's sort of like we are, in a sense, sending a beacon to that angel. It's kind of like, you know, tweeting, tweeting the angels. And, you know, I think that that makes us kind of more already, you know, establishing, you know, kind of more of a direct line or more of a, you know, connection to a specific archangel in that way. And also, I don't know if you can, for those that are listening live, hello everybody in the chat room, by the way, for everybody listening live and whoever listens later in archive, if you can see the, I know there's some listeners on their phone too, so I know they can't see the slideshow, hopefully, that actually is showing online here. I can't see it right now from the studio, but there is a picture of a stone per se that I included in this slideshow, and really it's a fabricated thing. It's this clear stuff. I forget what they call it. It's clear and it's hardened, and you can put little things in it, and it's got an angel in it, and it's in an oval shape, kind of like a worry stone. I think they're called angel worry stones, actually. And I've seen a lot of different things. I've seen carved or metal coins made with angel depicted on them. And I can tell you, the one that I posted there, I carry this around me all the time. Okay. And I feel like that wasn't necessarily my original intent. But two times, you know, in the last 3 years, you know, at least two times it just come to mind is like, oh yeah, I've had this angel stone in my pocket, and it's a touchstone, worry stone, palm stone, whatever you want to call it. And you can have one that, you know, has a little angel figurine that you could, is big enough to fit in your pocket and carry around. And I think that that has helped make the angel connection as well. You know, I started carrying it all the time when I was in a bad car wreck in January 2013, and we survived. We shouldn't have, but somehow we did. You know, our car didn't. But, you know, this was in my pocket, and we survived. And before the accident, about 10 minutes before the accident, I heard a clairaudient message saying, "You're going to be in a wreck." And I ignored it because, you know, that's what you do when you're driving around and you get, you know, you hear words in your head that, you know, would cause you to, you know, take some irrational action, like pull over and just sit there. So I ignored it. And then, like, literally 10 minutes later, we were in this wreck. And I was being talked to the whole time. The crunching of the metal and everything was happening, and being told, you know, to relax, and that everything was going to be okay, that I wasn't going to die. And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like a normal voice, you know, it wasn't an abnormal voice either. It was an incredibly soothing voice that made me relax in the most stressful moment. And, you know, and there was like kind of a shield of light, you know, over in between us and the, what do you call it, the windshield. And so, you know, I had this stone in my pocket when all that was going on. So I kind of have not stopped carrying it around since. And I had it in my pocket when we had a tornado come to town about, you know, 2 years ago, and we were in the in the closet, and the whole house was like, you know, shaking. The roof was, you know, going crazy. Ended up having to replace the roof after this, but it was, you know, I had that stone, the stone in my pocket, and I was holding onto it, and I was, you know, I don't know, I want to say begging. I think I was begging for help and protection from Archangel Michael, you know. I mean, and, you know, regardless, you know, I think that, you know, with some degree of comfort, to think that in those moments where, you know, you just feel helpless, that you, that there is somebody you can help, that you can ask for help, right, and that can help you. So you could do that with the crystal associated with the specific angel that you feel connection to, or any of them, experiment with it, or you could use it with just a little stone that maybe has an angel carved on it, or that, you know, it doesn't even have to really be of stone, you know, just a little figurine. I have one that's like on metal that has a, it's not copper though, because that would be perfect. That could be my Archangel Gabrielle one. But this is actually, I want to say pewter. I have a little pewter coin that has an angel carved into it. And I have a lot of little angel coins and stones and stuff, because I just believe that they've been very helpful. I believe that they work. If you don't want to do the dream thing, I mean, I've talked to people in at different times, and when it comes to trying to, the idea of connecting with the angels or any spiritual being while they're asleep kind of freaks them out, because, and I love it, really, you know, is that, you know, this idea that, well, they'll have more control during the day if they're awake. And if they're asleep, you know, even if they're meditating, they think they'll have more control. And, you know, I think, you know, probably just gazing, if that's a concern of yours, gazing into a stone and just kind of noting, even writing down maybe the different things that you feel you see in it. Or, you know, asking for a sign, just flat out asking for a sign, stating an intention or an affirmation, and then looking for the signs to appear, maybe, you know, carry the crystal around with you, but maybe to appear outside of yourself, you know, your clair senses, and outside of, you know, the crystal itself in the regular world, you know. And we hear all different kinds of ways in which people get these messages, you know, from when they're communicating with angels. You know, it can be something that, you know, they see as a shape in the clouds. It could be, you know, how the leaves fall on the ground. It could be the cracks in the sidewalk. It could be something you hear on the radio. It could be a bumper sticker. It could be a license plate. It could be a feather, it could be a penny, it could be, I don't know, it's sort of endless, right? It's really sort of what you notice, and what, even at times, you know, can become like a synchronicity for you. You know, like if you, like there's a friend of mine that always sees, every time he finds like a singular feather, a certain kind of feather on the ground, he knows that someone has died, someone he's connected to in some way, you know, not just, you know, because obviously people die every day, so, you know, every feather, you know, has a tale to tell. But, yeah, you know, this happens, and then, you know, he'll get a phone call later from a mutual friend saying, oh, you know, so-and-so bought the farm, you know. So it's like, it can happen like that with the synchronicity of the same thing all the time. Or it can just happen in a way that's just, you know, something one time that's very meaningful to you, you know. So those are the different types of communication you can kind of expect. And literally, it can, you know, it can definitely happen as just, you know, a voice or a vision. You know, some people have like these amazing visions of angels that they see clairvoyantly. And, like, you know, for me, it's more about, like, getting maybe a picture like I did in my dream from Archangel Raphael. But, or usually for me, it's something that it's the voice. It's that voice coming through and saying something. And along with the feeling, I think, associated with any of these ways of communication is that... a sort of energy that you feel, a sort of sense, you know, of it's something else, you know, it's like not a normal kind of feeling, you know, it's, and usually in a lot of ways it's very pleasant you know. You can get the little spine tingle. You can have the hair on your arms, neck, or wherever you have extra hair, you know, come up. You can feel something at the very top of your head, like kind of a sort of almost like a, you know, electricity thing, but it's not like a shock or something. It's actually very pleasant. So, you know, you can have like a body reaction as well as an emotional reaction, you know, a feeling, you know, not worried. If you were worried, relaxed, happy, safe, protected, all of those different kind of feelings that are positive that come from this. And you can also feel a little bit awestruck as well. So I think, you know, it's sort of limitless in what these things are sort of like to experience. And I think that, you know, often it happens a lot more, I think, than we hear about or that people talk about. And because of that, I don't really feel that it's an unusual kind of thing or that it affects any sort of belief system or religion that you may practice, you know, because I think that's something that comes up a lot and people say, oh, the angels, well, they're these biblical creatures, you know, and look, you know, we have the Bible, we have the Quran, we have the Jewish religion, you know, the Judaism, all these, you know, different depictions and thoughts and things written about angels. And outside of that, in the New Age movement, we have Doreen Virtue, we have all these different writers talking about it. And, you know, for the most part, I don't really see, you know, I've never really thought about who might be the angel connected with a different, you know, the different churches in a sense, you know. Who's the angel of religion in a way? You know, I think that, you know, instead, you know, a ton of religions have angels and, you know, it doesn't mean that you have given up your faith or that you've gone strange or something like that to do this. And it's strange, you know, what is strange about it is how hard it can be to talk about sometimes, you know, because when you do, using your crystals or you know, just, you know, maybe, you know, just naturally sort of happens, you know, during the course of life, when you have these experiences, you kind of want to talk about it. And there's kind of often, depending on what circles you run in, you know, I think you're just kind of lucky if you do have people in your life that you can talk about it with. And even when you do have people in your life that you can talk about it with and that you can really, you know, try to, you know, describe the experience to, there, I think there's this sort of feeling of like, it's very hard to adequately communicate, you know. And there's always a sense that, like, you know, I can't find the words so that they really get, you know, what I experienced, because if they really got it, they'd be freaking out like I am, right? You know, so that's just, you know, one aspect to it all. But, you know, I can say that that's one of the benefits, I think, of social media, you know, whether it's Twitter or Facebook or, you know, Sue or Hello or, you know, a chat form that you like a lot, whatever, you know, kind of connections where you can create, like, your, you know, kind of online, at least, social circles or mutual interest groups or join groups. There's a lot of groups that are really, you know, into angels. There's tons of them on Facebook and on pretty much all the social media sites. So look for them, you know, find people that you can talk to about this, to listen to other people's experiences, because it kind of, you learn from it. You learn different ways in which people communicate with angels or have experiences with them by listening to their other experiences. So that's pretty much most of what I have to say about this idea of using crystals to connect with the angelic realm. And next, we're going to take a short break right now, and when we come back, we're going to talk about copper and not only how it can help us to, strengthen that connection with the angelic realm, by really, because it's such a wonderful conduit of energy, but also some other things about it, some of the history of it and some of the uses of it, metaphysical associations and healing applications. And we'll hear all that when we come back from our short break here from our network. So hang on.
Schedule your reading with one of the psychics at Attune. PsychicsAttune.com. Have you always wanted to create your own tarot or oracle deck but thought you needed to be a graphic artist? Self-published decks are really hot right now, and I could show you how to do this. No Photoshop required. Contact me, Mary Nail, at MaryNail@AttuneMagazine.com.
www.theresarockforthat.com. Visit the website where there's a stone for that, an idea for that, a story about that, and even a reading with solutions for that because, well, we just happen to rock like that. Need to relax? Or raise your vibration? Want to know how gems, crystals, and rocks can enhance your life? Get a crystal consultation. For entertainment purposes only, crystal consultations do not in any way replace treatment by licensed healthcare professionals. Come explore the wonders of the Crystal Kingdom at www.theresarockforthat.com.
Welcome to Attune Magazine Radio.
All right, we are back, and you are listening to There's a Rock for That on the Attune Magazine Radio Network. And don't forget the new issue, the October issue 2015 of Attune Magazine, digital magazine, is now available. So make sure you check it out. It's the big tarot issue with a lot of really cool stuff in it, and that is at AttuneMagazine.com. So now we're going to talk about this week's crystal guest, which is actually a metal or even an element, and that is copper. We probably, all of us, have seen commercials or people wearing, a copper bracelet or talking about, there's clothing that they make now that has threads of copper in it. So I think that, there's been a lot of talk about the healing aspect of it and how it can be used. So it's, that part I think has been talked about a lot, it's various forms of copper have been used for medicinal purposes throughout the history of mankind. It's been, in alternative health since I think the beginning of alternative health, or us calling it that, and home remedies, for forever. And what is it? It's said to have a great role in, helping to defend our bodies against infection. It's been known to help with the production of red blood cells, collagen and melanin, and to aid the body in the absorption of iron, which is another important trace element out there, and also to help with problems like losing weight, helping to benefit the lymphatic system. It's been taken, actually, trace elements of copper have been taken as a supplement and used as an antioxidant, usually combined with vitamin C, and which is a way it's thought, you know, using antioxidants to kind of neutralize free radicals in your body. So I feel like it goes on and on and on, all of the various different ways in which copper is thought to be used in healing. And I think it's pretty important too that, you know, and instead of like listening to this and saying, okay, well, I'm going to go to the you know, to the store and go get a copper supplement and then start taking that, you know, I think it's important to consult with your physician, medical professional before you do something like that necessarily. You know, do you need it? Maybe. Do you know, we already have copper in our body. You know, we do get it, you know, from other sources than, you know, taking a actual supplement for something that's essential to all living organisms for the most part. I can't think of anything that it's not important to, you know, and that's just as a trace kind of dietary mineral, you know, and that's because it's, you know, it's a key part of the respiratory enzyme complex, they call it, right? And, you know, mollusks and different types of crustacea, copper is part of the blood pigmentation, rather. Bah, we can't talk today. We can get it from, you know, eating like shellfish. We can get it from eating fish. The main areas where copper is found in humans is in the liver, in the muscle, and in the bones. So, you know, these are all different ways that physically we're already, you know, are connected to and using copper and getting it from and incorporating it, et cetera. So, yeah, consult with a medical professional before you decide to add something like that to your diet. You know, because a lot of people wind up in the emergency room because they start taking supplements on their own without, you know, necessarily consulting with anyone except a TV ad. So that's just something to keep in mind. I don't know why that just came up. I didn't intend to talk about that today, but yeah, I'm worried about that. Not for me, but I feel like for somebody. Anyways, moving right along. What is kind of the metaphysical aspects of copper? I think are really kind of interesting. You know, one of my favorite sources on, you know, gems and particularly metals is a writer who sadly is passed, Scott Cunningham, who put out, you know, a lot of books, but his Encyclopedia of Crystal, Gem, and Metal Magic is what it's called. I'm going to share with you what his thoughts on copper were. One, that the energy is receptive, you know. So again, that kind of really goes with that idea of using it, you know, like say copper ring, copper bracelet on your non-dominant hand or arm, because it's your receptive side anyways. You know, if you're right hand, go put it on the left. He connected it also to the planet Venus, the element of water, and the deities, actually, Aphrodite, Ishtar, Astarte, kind of that whole thing, probably in Anna, too, since that was sort of the predecessor of Ishtar, Astarte, and later Aphrodite. And so, you know, we have, you know, that kind of already very strong feminine energy about this, being connected to Venus, being connected to the water element and those goddesses. And he associated a couple stones, actually, to use as copper, being quartz crystal and also emerald. And the herb association, that's why his books are so great. The herb associated with it is mimosa, okay? And he said the kind of powers that, as he calls it, the copper has is having to do with directing energy. That's why you see a lot of people like to take like a copper tube and make a wand with it. Like they'll add crystals to it and make a wand that they can use either during rituals or for directing energy. So that's something to think about. And also the other power, it has to do with healing, as we discussed all the healing applications for it. And also luck and love and protection and money. So some great things going on that the copper has going for it here. When it comes to like the magical sort of folklore with it and ritual lore, actually, it says, you know, copper has long been linked with the divine. And during ancient Mesopotamian times, it was attributed to the Queen of Heaven, as well as to the goddesses associated with the planet Venus. And again, that's Ishtar, Astarte, probably Inanna, who was, you know, the Sumerian predecessor of the others. It has also been sacred to the sun in Babylon, as well as to the early inhabitants of the Pacific Northwest in the U.S. here. Copper is well known as a conductor of electricity. You know, you always hear about copper wiring. One modern use is to fashion wands of copper tubes, okay? And sometimes these are wrapped with leather or, you know, some other shielding substance with it, which is something to think about. And those wands, again, are used in magical rituals to direct energy. And copper is also worn during ritual for the same purpose, basically, rather, to heighten one's ability to direct energy to the goal that they are trying to achieve with the ritual. You know, and it kind of brings up a funny point that I think a lot of times people are creating rituals without a specific goal in mind, that it's more about just having a ritual. So something else to think about there. You know, one thing that, you know, Cunningham says about copper on the healing front that I found very interesting is that that it's long being used to stimulate energy or healing, and that seems to be because the copper has an ability to balance the body's polarity or the flow of the projective and receptive energies. Blockages in this energy pattern, you know, according to shamans and healers, leads to imbalances and consequently disease. So in some other ways in which it's been used that I thought were kind of fun that he included here was, you know, in Mexico, a copper penny is placed on the navel before a trip to prevent motion sickness. And copper is worn for the relief of rheumatism, which I think we've seen a lot of that in a sense with the bracelets, copper bracelets that people wear. I've heard people wear them for arthritis as well as like any sort of painful kind of muscular kind of condition that they have. You know, copper wire loosely fastened around legs and arms to relieve cramps. Pure copper in any form is often worn for general healing and to prevent sickness. And it's also considered a lucky metal, maybe because of, you know, having been associated with the sun in Babylon. That may actually be why, you know, that idea of it being associated with luck or being lucky is still around. And, you know, the idea actually is, like, if you use copper with in combination with any other gemstone or crystal that is associated with bringing luck, or maybe that you even consider like your lucky stone, that is said to like have a, you know, much better, you know, effect, that kind of, you know, bring the luck to you quicker. You know, and also since it's associated with Venus, it's considered great for attracting love, and that if you had emeralds set in copper, that would really bring the love in for you. And another thing I thought was really neat was in ancient times, seeds of the mimosa plant were set into copper rings and worn, especially during confrontations, for protection types of negativity. And the interesting thing about, you know, we talked about the penny earlier, you know, obviously, you know, copper being used to draw money, bring money to you, and, you know, how pennies used to be made out of copper. Well, if you happen to have, like, an older penny from when they were making them with copper, and they say if it was especially This is especially true if it happened to be minted during a leap year. Now, it's kind of a lot to keep track of here. But so you have an old copper penny that was minted during a leap year. It has a leap year date on it. And you place it in your kitchen to attract money to the household. So that's kind of one of those old wives kind of folklore-y, you know, kind of things that I think is really kind of cool about it. And, you know, I have, for some reason, you know, and I don't, you know, I have a copper ring that I do wear on my left side, and I love it, and I can't imagine not wearing it. And I mean, I think it makes a difference, you know, especially when you're doing, like, divination or, you know, working with energy work or healing work and stuff. I really do think it makes a difference. I mean, I can't explain it more than that, really. But the thing that I had this vision, and I haven't done it yet, right, and I've been thinking about it, is that it's something to do with getting a an ankh, you know, the Egyptian ankh, you know, how do you spell it, A-N-K-H, I think, the, you know, it's like the symbol of life, you know, it's like Thoth has the ankh, you know, in a lot of those Egyptian paintings that we've probably all seen, or symbols and stuff, and for some reason, I think if you had a copper ankh, like kind of a big one, you know, not too big, like maybe like 6 inches long, and you like held it above your head or you used it to, you know, point at something. I don't know. This was like this weird vision that I got like maybe a year ago. I haven't never got the copper ankh to draw this with. I don't know. There's not a lot of copper ankhs around, and I don't do my own metal, you know, casting, I guess. So, anyways, if you're listening to this and you happen to have a copper ankh, you know, let me know. You know, is it particular? What does it do? Because I feel like that does something. Like that's important in some way. You know, since it's October, it's Rocktober, and we can talk about magical things. I think that might be a very interesting magical tool, because it wouldn't exactly be a wand. Yet, you know, it's a powerful symbol. It's an ancient symbol. And there's something about, like, holding it over your head. So I don't know. Anyways, so that's some great stuff about copper from Scott Cunningham. You know, and of course, you know, copper is a chemical element as well. The symbol is Cu. Comes from the Latin cuprum. Atomic number 29, ductile metal with a very high thermal and electrical conductivity, very soft and very malleable. I mean, if you have a piece of native copper, you know, the natural copper, it's so cool, the different kind of shapes that it takes. You know, I've seen it where, you know, kind of looks like a, you know, like almost like a tree branch kind of thing. I've seen it like kind of, you know, it's like kind of thin, and you know, it looks really, really cool. It'd be a great thing to display as well. So, you know, there's a lot of different uses in that way. You know, copper was definitely something important to the alchemists. You know, haven't really touched too much on alchemy, but you know, they believe that, you know, the connection between the heaven and earth, including the energies of the sun and moon and planets, was pretty important. And they believe that metals relate to a particular planet and a day of the week. And, you know, those kind of traditional sort of, ideas, you know, I think are still, you know, very much used today. You know, if we can go back to, 9,000 BC, I think is one of the earliest times where they, you know, had found copper that, you know, they know was used as early as 9,000 BC in the Middle East and used for magical purposes. You know, all it's been a part of our heritage and our history for thousands and thousands of years. So I think it's worthwhile to like kind of continue that tradition in a way. I think it's a very kind of interesting thing. And, you know, some other associations I have seen it, you know, be associated with the astrological signs of Taurus and Sagittarius and said to vibrate to the number one, you know, when it comes to numerology, you know. And one other thing about copper that I thought was really kind of interesting was this idea that it was really a great thing to use in a sense that, you know, it can kind of stimulate our sense of taking the initiative and of being more optimistic, and even, you know, it's really associated as well a lot with diplomacy and independence, you know, and conveys the messages that there is no need to seek love or to constantly search for life, that there definitely is a need to seek and release all of the restrictions that you've installed within yourself when it comes to those things. So I think that it has a really kind of interesting kind of energy to it. And is worthwhile. I mean, you can find, you know, a little piece of copper jewelry pretty inexpensively. And the one thing I will say is that, you know, look, you know, we talk about the benefits of raw copper. Well, let's talk about the idea of wearing raw copper jewelry. You know, what happens? Yeah. You know what happens is is that, one, it can be a wonderful experience. You may feel the energy even of it and stuff, but, you know, and notice the benefits from doing so, but it can kind of turn the color of your skin, right? You know, if you've ever, you know, worn copper and it's kind of turned that sort of greenish color, you know, your finger does if it's a ring or whatever, you know, what that is probably is that you're wearing uncoated copper. You know, they make copper jewelry and they put a coating on it so that that doesn't happen, where it doesn't have contact with the perspiration, right? Because strangely enough, our fingers sweat when we wear rings, you know, just a little bit, you know, maybe a lot for some people, I don't know. But, and, you know, if the copper is, you know, not treated or not coated, then it's going to turn that kind of skin color, you know, a little bit green on your finger, and, you know, it washes off. I mean, mainly what it's about is, like, you know, taking it off now and then, you know, wear it for a while, and then, you know, as you feel your fingers sweat, I mean, it's a strange thing, right, sweaty fingers. But if you feel like you're, you know, it's been on a little too long or something, take it off, move it around, let it air out, you know, because it's the moisture that causes that discoloration on your skin. It washes off, it disappears, it doesn't do any harm to you. You know, it's a way to intake some copper, I guess, if you think about it. If you just take it off every now and then, you know, even just loosen it. Like what I do is, you know, if I take it off and set it down, I'll probably forget where I put it. So I will just move it sort of down my finger to where it's not really snug anymore and let it air out. You know, it's not like dripping with sweat or anything. It's just a little bit moist, and you can always take a soft, you know, cloth and just kind of dry that off, dry your finger off. I didn't know. The subject of finger sweat. I didn't know I was going to talk about that either today. Okay, well, anyways, I think it's time to wrap this up for today. Okay, I think we covered a lot of the bases here with copper and with the angels. And if you have any questions, you can always find me on Twitter. I'm Pterodactyl on Twitter. I'm Pterodactyl everywhere except Facebook. Facebook. But screw Facebook. Hook up on Twitter or tsu.com, or I'm even on Tumblr now, too, as The Pterodactyl. Or you can just always send me an email at mary@pterodactyl.net. And I'm happy to ask any questions you may have about what we cover on the show, or open to suggestions for guests or future show topics or ideas. And because you know, come on, let's have fun. We're rock people, you know. This is their chance to explore and come before and see what may lie ahead. And with that, I bid you all a fair adieu, and I will see you next Thursday, 4 p.m. Eastern, here at There's a Rock for That on the Attune Magazine Radio Network. Have a really awesome rest of your week, everybody. Bye-bye.